Well, Happy New Year. Good to see everybody this morning on this first Sunday of the year 2016. We were talking a little bit about that in Bible class today. And what a year it will be and what a year it will bring. And I thought that I would turn our attention this morning to some thoughts from the Scriptures relative to the beginning of the new year and that which God desires of us as we pursue this year within our own lives. With that in mind, please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 through 3. You know, it's that time of the year where people start to make New Year's resolutions. And they resolve to do all kinds of different things. Well, I'm going to share a couple of mine with you just for a moment while you're turning to Isaiah 61. I resolved this year that I'm going to gain weight. I'm going to eat less healthy. I'm going to exercise less, sit on the couch more. No, I'm just kidding. That's the kind of things that people think about when they think about the new year. They think about all of these physical activities that they want to be involved in. You know, oftentimes it's losing weight. Sometimes it's eating healthier and doing more. Maybe there's some other things, giving more to charity, things like that. Well, what about the spiritual aspects of our lives? What are we going to make of this new year, spiritually speaking? And as we turn our attention to Isaiah 61 and verses 1 through 3, I want us to think about verse 2 in particular. Well, let's read together. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. I call your attention particularly to verse 2 and that phrase that's used there, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This is a messianic passage. It's a passage that's spoken in prophecy of Jesus the Messiah, who is going to come and fulfill everything that is contained within these verses. And if you turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus quotes directly from Isaiah chapter 61 while he is at a synagogue in Capernaum, and he reads these very words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Verse 20 of Luke chapter 4 then says this, "Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed to him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Jesus fulfilled the prophecy that Isaiah made about the acceptable year of the Lord. And I will submit to you this morning that He continues to fulfill that prophecy today in His body, the church. In fact, as we think about Jesus and His ministry and the work that He did while He was upon the earth, we certainly see that it is His desire that the church continue to do that work, to continue to proclaim the gospel, to continue to help those who are weak and impoverished, to continue to warn regarding the judgment that is to come, to continue to encourage one another, especially those who are mourning, to give beauty for ashes, to give the oil of joy, the garment of praise, because this is what it means for our year to be acceptable to the Lord. You see, we have within the life of Jesus a pattern. We have in the life of Jesus an example of what it means for us to live as God wants us to live, to be the people that God wants us to be. And it is within our power to do just that, to live for God each and every day, so that this year will be the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's think about these key verses here in Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, and think about the key thoughts within these verses. I want you to notice, first of all, that we can make this year the acceptable year of the Lord, first of all, by preaching the gospel to the lost. Look at what verse 1 says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. This word, good tidings, Luke uses the word gospel. It's the same word. The good news, the blessed message. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. As God's people, He wants us to take His message to the world around us, because it is His desire that everyone hear about Jesus and hear what Jesus has done for them, so that they can then come to Jesus and put their faith and trust in Him and obey Him to be reconciled to God, so that God can continue to build this great family that He intended to build from all eternity. This is God's desire. You know, it's our desire in a kind of a microscopic way to do the exact same thing. Think about this for a moment. That from very young age, we have these desires to be a family, to be part of a family. And little girls began to talk about, oh, what kind of husband they're going to have when they grow up, what kind of person they're going to be, what kind of family they're going to have. They talk about the children that they're going to have. They talk about all of these wonderful things and the blessedness that will come from being in family and having a family and having their own family. And this is, in a small portrait, what God desires for everyone, to be part of His family, His great spiritual family, which the Bible describes as being the body of Christ, the church of Christ. But to do this, we must take the good message to those who are around us who are not part of the family. We must preach the gospel to those who are lost. Jesus came, He says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's His great desire. And He ever lives to make intercession for us. His great desire is to restore, to bring back those who have gone astray into His family, so that His Father may be glorified. Paul says it like this in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. That Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom then He says, I am chief. And as God's people, as the church, as the body of Christ, it is incumbent upon us then to imitate the same behavior of our spiritual husband, of our spiritual Lord, of our Master Jesus. Go then and take the gospel to others. It is His desire that we do this. He told His disciples in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He wants us to make disciples. He wants us to teach. He wants us to baptize. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. We can make this the acceptable year of the Lord by going out and preaching the gospel to those who need it. Let's resolve that we are going to be involved in doing that this year. We can make this the acceptable year of the Lord by warning those who are in error. And when I say talking about those who are in error, warning those who are in error, I do not mean belittling them. I do not mean acting grudgingly toward them. I do not mean hurting them intentionally and with mean and unkind words. That is not what I mean by warning those who are in error. You see, because it is a loving thing to snatch someone out of peril, to bring someone out of danger. That is a loving thing. We would not consider the father whose house was on fire and whose children were in that house to be loving if he just sat back and watched it burn to the ground without trying to go in there and to rescue his children. We would not consider that a loving father. Nor is it loving for us to sit back and to look on while those who are lost and dying in this world continue on in the peril that they are in without saying some word of warning to them with love and in kindness. Think about verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 61. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance. See, there is going to be a day of vengeance. A day unlike any other day. When judgment comes and those who have not availed themselves of the opportunity to hear the gospel and believe it and obey it will be eternally judged by God. In Acts chapter 17 and verses 30 and 31, the Apostle Paul has this to say while he is preaching to the Athenians. He said, "The times of ignorance God once winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as the day is coming in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, and he has shown us who that man is by raising him from the dead." And of course, that is Jesus. Jesus is going to be the judge. Jesus is going to be the one who saves and then who says who is not saved as well. And those who are not saved, they will get their desire, believe me, because their desire will be not to be saved. Sometimes we think of salvation as getting everything that we want. That's not what salvation is. And I think there are a lot of people in the world who are deceived to believe that. You know, I've heard some preachers talk about, well, you know, in heaven, when all of this world is over and we're in heaven, they're going to have water skiing and they're going to have a nice house on a lake and they're going to have all of these physical creature comforts that we have right now. Salvation doesn't necessarily mean that you get what you want. Salvation is getting what God wants out of us. Now, we should think about that. Because it really means that we have to submit our wills to God. It really means that we have to give ourselves to Him. Now, in getting what God wants, He who is the greatest giver, He who is the greatest in goodness, He who is the greatest in love, will love and be good in loving and be good in giving. And that will be something that we truly enjoy, and there will be great joy. But salvation isn't getting what we want. But there's a lot of people out there who think that salvation is getting what they want, and they're going to get what they want. But it's not going to be salvation. Judgment is coming. Paul, in talking to Felix in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, reason of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. You see, Jesus is the judge. And we will be judged by His words. He said, "The words that I speak, the same will judge you in the last day." John chapter 12 and verse 48. And it's such a blessing to know that. You see, we have been given the words of Jesus. We've been given those words by which we will be judged. Now let me ask you a question. If you were up for judgment before some judge of this land, would you not want someone who is expert in the words by which you will be judged to inform you and to help you to understand those words so that you can come in compliance in them, so that you can be prepared for your day before the judge? I would. I would want that. I would want to know what those words were. I would want to know what those words mean. I would want to know how to apply those words to my life so that when I appear before the judge, I am ready. Why would we not want that in reference to the words that Jesus gives? Why would we not want that to be ready for that great day of judgment? And some may be saying, well, that day is so far away. We don't know when that will be. It will be years from now, decades from now. Don't be deceived. There is no promise of tomorrow. There may very well be, I hope it is not the case, but there may very well be someone who exits this assembly this morning to step into eternity before tomorrow. James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 14 that our life is but a vapor which appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. And we don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. You see, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. And this is the message that we need to be sharing with others. This is the warning that we need to be giving. We can make this year an acceptable year of the Lord by remembering to warn others of the judgment that is coming. And then finally today, we can make this year the acceptable year of the Lord by exhorting those who are faithful. Look at the rest of verse 2 and all of verse 3. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. There's a lot of talk about mourning in this passage. And there's a lot of folks who are mourning for various reasons of one kind or another. Some mourn because they have lost loved ones. And I want you to know, to my knowledge, each and every one of you who have lost loved ones are on my prayer list. Each and every one of you. I pray for you all the time. We need to pray for those who have lost loved ones because part of making this an acceptable year of the Lord is to comfort those who mourn. It's to give them consolation, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. But it's not just about praying for others. It's about being there for them. It's about listening. It's about sharing. It's about remembering, enjoying even that which we have within our minds, that which has made us who we are today. And there are more reasons for mourning than just the death of loved ones. We mourn sometimes when we see that we have lost something dear to us. We mourn due to ill states of health. We mourn because of changes that are made that are beyond our control, which affect us in negative ways. There are many reasons for mourning, but let's be clear that the ultimate cause of all mourning within this world is sin. Sin is what brought mourning to the earth. But God has the remedy for that. And that mourning can be changed to gladness. That mourning can be changed to praise. That mourning can be changed. Do not doubt the power of God. Do not say within your heart, there's nothing that can fix this. There is always hope. There is always God. And He is above and beyond all that we can ask or think or do. You see, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Because ultimately, as Christians, it's not about this life. We were talking about that in Bible class and about what's really real. And we think that things that we can touch and handle are real. But look, I could make this pulpit right here, which is very solid and feels very tough to me right now. In just a few moments, I could make it into something that was listless, that was seamless, that didn't have any substance to it. And you say, well, how could you do that? Simply by casting it into a fire. And then what would it be? A pile of formless ash. You see, this isn't anything. And what we have in this life isn't ultimately anything. There's so much more that God has planned for us, that He has in store for us, that is waiting for us. The best is yet to come. And as we think about making this an acceptable year of the Lord, let's remember what God can do. He can change that spirit of mourning into beauty. He can change that depression into praise. He can change that heavy weight into something that's glorious and beautiful. If we doubt this, then just look at the cross. Just look at what happened there to Jesus. How He was crucified so many years ago. How with outstretched arms His blood was drained out of Him. How His mother stood there weeping at the death of her son. But then how 3 days later He came forth. Glorious. Powerful. Now that is something that can change mourning into joy. That is something that can change heaviness into lightness. And when we think about that, we consider that these troubles that we go through in this life are, as the Apostle Paul says, but merely light afflictions compared with that eternal weight of glory which shall one day be revealed. Yes, we can make this an acceptable year of the Lord by being faithful to Him, knowing the promises that He has made, knowing the beauty that He has for us, not only in the life which is to come, but even right now, even as we traverse through this life, we can understand and know that joy and that peace that passes all understanding that only He gives. So let's resolve to keep fighting that good fight of the faith. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Let's resolve to encourage one another at every opportunity to be present for all the works of the church, knowing that our true family is here and that this is what will continue when eternity is revealed. Let us resolve not to be weary in well-doing, but rather, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, to be steadfast, unmoving, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes I think we think that. Sometimes I think we think, oh, I'm doing this for nothing. This is going to come to no good, no fruition. No, that's a lie. That's what the devil wants you to believe. Because everything that you do, everything that is done, all of the work of the Lord that you accomplish, accomplishes something. Always, without fail, because the Lord has promised that. Will we make this the acceptable year of the Lord? If we will, look at the blessing that will be ours, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. You see, God is glorified when we are the people that He wants us to be. And we receive the blessings, and God is glorified. Will we make this the acceptable year of the Lord by preaching the gospel to the lost, by warning those who are in error, and by being faithful to Him? What will you do this year? Why not make the start today by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus, and being baptized so that you can become part of that great kingdom, the church, His body, His family, His people? This very hour, make your commitment this morning at the beginning of this year to make this the year of the Lord. Do you need to renew your commitment to God? This morning, you can do that. You can start afresh. God forgives sin. He puts it as far as the east is from the west, Psalm 103. Why not make that beginning today and dedicate this year and every year after to God while we stand and while we sing?